She is immortal. A thousand years old. And she cannot die. A creature of legend. Like the Raven. A thief who stole the sun and the moon. They sent a warrior to bring her back. He found her. Together, they brought back light to the world. I was a cop. To me, she was just a thief. Another day on the job. But she wasn't. She changed my life. Changed everything. And both of us knew from that moment on, nothing would ever be the same.
And welcome into Let's Watch Highlander. This is Let's Watch Highlander, The Raven, episode 12, A Matter of Time. And here to talk with you about it, as we are every week, I am Travis, a.k.a. TV's Travis, and that is the Audie Norman. Audie, how you doing?
Doing all right. You know, apparently all the little critters didn't see their shadows, and we're supposed to get spring here soon, so we'll see.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, it's first spring, right? It's false. It's the first false spring.
Right.
We have, usually it's like three or four false starts to spring around here, so.
Mm-hmm.
But that's fine.
Same.
Yeah, I'm used to it by now. We got an episode this week that felt, this one really felt like a Highlander for the first time, like fully to me in a while. Maybe it was the return of an old friend.
Yeah, that could have something to do with it.
But there was some stuff at play here that was interesting to me. I mean, let's just not beat around the bush about it. Let's talk about it.
Heck yeah.
Don't do anything stupid.
Like what, body snatching?
We didn't do this, Nick.
I don't know you.
You're not supposed to. My name is Joe Dawson.
Right, so we open up. There's a man running. And we hear some gunshots. He's being chased by somebody. Looks like a woman wearing like all black, dark sunglasses. And then we see Nick chasing after them.
Yeah, we do.
For reasons. We have no idea why. He's just pistol out, chasing after him. He's a minute or so behind them, gets there and finds the man dead, lying there shot.
Yeah.
He goes over to him, checks him. Pulls up, and there's a strange tattoo on his arm. It's a Watcher tattoo.
Yeah, it is.
Nick also finds a little medallion. It looks like it has kanji, perhaps. Some form of writing that looks Asian. He hears something, goes off to find the woman that was doing the shooting, getting into a car and driving away.
Yep.
So he goes back, and when he goes back down, it's at like a bridge overpass. And he goes back down underneath, and he sees some guys grabbing the body and throwing it into a van. So he goes over to check on it and says, hey, what the hell are you doing? And then there's a gun drawn on him. And it's Joe Dawson.
Yeah, it is.
And Joe knows who Nick is.
Yeah, he does.
Calls him by name. Nick has no idea who he is. Mm-hmm. And credits.
Yep. Which, I have to say, this time around, I let the credits play just so I could go do something, you know, whatever. Had my headphones in, and I was listening to it. And the whole time I was listening to it, I was just like, man, what if the whole season was actually about the whole Raven mythos? Too bad it's just for the credits.
Yeah.
And the title.
So far, anyway. We haven't gotten anything else.
Nope.
So we go to the apartment, and Nick and Joe are there with Amanda. And they're kind of getting to know each other. Nick has no idea who Joe is. Joe's dancing around, not wanting to tell him anything. Nick, of course, is being the cop that he was.
Yeah, the cop that he can't stop being.
Right. So finally he grabs the phone and he tries to call and be like, basically, look, somebody was killed. You know, I'm going to call this in. And Amanda convinces Joe to at least tell him who they are. And what a watcher is, because Joe does, Amanda calls him a watcher. And Nick's like, what the hell is that? You know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Nick's really skeptical about the whole thing. But of course, Amanda trusts Joe, right? And then asks him what he's doing in town. you know, Joe, what are you doing here? And he was following somebody who's following Amanda. And he drops a name of Andre Korda.
Yep.
And then we get a flashback.
Yeah.
China Coast, 1907. Amanda's riding up on horseback. She stops at, like, just a well, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And she's attacked by a couple of men for reasons. No, no, nothing else. They're just attacked. She fights them off.
Mm-hmm.
After beating the crap out of those two guys, she feels an immortal. And this guy rides up on a horse. Looks like he's dressed kind of like a monk.
Mm-hmm.
He's wearing a lot, you know, these robes and all that. And basically challenges Amanda. They fight, but he handily defeats her.
Yeah.
And spares her life. And he brings her back to his little village, starts telling her stories about sparrows and hawks. And how mortals are sparrows and the immortals are hawks. And the immortals basically feed on the sparrows. They kind of own them. The villagers don't know that he is an immortal, but they have seen him die.
Mm-hmm.
So they sort of do. They look at him like a deity.
Right.
And Amanda is like, well, maybe I'll stick around. Can you teach me the fighting that you do with the fan?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, sure. Yeah, I'll teach you. You can stick around here. We can work well together. We can do a lot of great things together. So we come back to present time, and we find out that one of Joe's watchers is dead. Korda's involved. He's running a nightclub in town, which don't know for how long or why it's taken till now for him to make any kind of a move on Amanda, I guess. But he has that. So Amanda goes to the nightclub, and Nick follows her. And she gets there. She feels Andre's presence. They kind of lock eyes.
A nightclub with the most 90s techno music. Good Lord.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So Korda and Amanda see each other, and we get more flashback. We see a bunch of people burning a village, and then Amanda is looking at some treasures that they brought back, because, of course, she likes shiny things.
Sure.
And Korda lets her know, like, yeah, but unfortunately, that's all there is. We had to burn the village down because they wouldn't pay the tithe.
Mm-hmm.
And a big thing for Korda is, of course, resistance is useless.
Don't
resist. He basically is kind of a tyrant. Just a very soft-spoken tyrant.
Mm-hmm.
So Amanda is upset about the fact that he burned a village down. She wants to leave. He won't let her. He's like, no.
Yeah.
You're not leaving.
No one ever leaves me. But, okay.
And then he gives her a test, and he tells her that tomorrow she is going to storm the temple at a neighboring village. And at noon, while it's full of worshipers, and take everything they have and basically kill everyone if they resist. That's effectively what he's telling her she's going to do. And she, you know, of course, is like, well, I could just refuse, take everything and run. And he tries to convince her that it would be a bad idea.
Right.
But then we see her leave anyway.
Right.
So she rides off into the night. So Amanda goes to talk to him at the club back in present day.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Krista, his right-hand woman, who we learn is who shot the Watcher.
Yeah.
Sees Nick. Wonders if he recognizes, if she'll recognize, or he'll recognize her, and goes to find out, because reasons. Basically, we need a reason, we need a way to get her and Korda separated so Amanda can talk to him, and for her and Nick to have some kind of a confrontation. So, sure, why not? But she goes down to talk to him, Amanda goes up to talk to Korda. Korda still wants Amanda to join him. Like, he...
Yeah.
It basically... whatever, 90 years later, he's decided that it's now time to get her back. He hasn't pursued her for the last 90 years. So while they're talking, Krista starts flirting with and dancing with Nick. And then he does let on that he knows who she is.
Yeah.
because of the medallion that he found, the like necklace or whatever. Mm-hmm. She's wearing basically another one plus the earrings that match it.
Right.
And then he leaves and Amanda leaves. So the funny thing was at this point, and we'll maybe talk about it a little bit more, but when Amanda goes to leave, Andre pulls a knife and she says, "Holy ground." And he stops. And I'm wondering what holy ground she's talking about. Is the nightclub on a built in a church? Because I didn't get that sense from it at all.
Yeah, I had the same question in my notes. I was like, did I miss something?
Okay, good. So okay. I don't feel quite so bad then. So the next day, we see an armored truck driving up, and a couple of guys working are like, "Hey, you can't drive here. You've got a detour. Head down this way." Truck starts going down that way when Andre just walks out in front of it and gets hit.
Mm-hmm.
So the driver goes out to check on him. Classic immortal ploy, right?
Sure.
Driver goes to check on him. Krista's there, shoots the driver. They open up the back of the truck. The other guy that was in the truck is back there, pistol drawn.
Mm-hmm.
But then, for whatever reason, he's dumb enough to not keep his eyes trained on her and instead look over at the seemingly dead guy so that she can pull her gun and shoot him.
Right.
Okay.
Bam, bam.
So basic, but he does get off a couple shots hitting Korda after he woke up. So Krista and Andre take the truck, driving away with him shot. We get a very immortal moment of, "I'll be right back." And then he dies.
Yeah. And all Joe this, watching the whole time.
Yep. All this going on while Joe is sitting in a car watching. So Nick confronts Joe about the robbery, right? Because it's in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. So we don't know how much long, you know, this is later that day or the next day.
Right.
And Dawson lets on that he knows that he was there. So Nick, of course, gets even more upset. Like, why didn't you do anything? And Joe's trying to explain to him that they just watch. They don't interfere. Nick wants him to go to the police. He doesn't want to. While that's happening, Krista and one of the workers we saw earlier, who is also apparently maybe an immortal, not sure, but his name is Raphael. They go to Amanda's apartment to tell her she's got 12 hours to decide if she's going to join Andre or they'll kill her.
Right. Speaking of, Raphael played by
Peter Mensah,
yep. Of all people.
Oh, yeah.
Good Lord. Seeing him was like, ooh.
We'll talk about that. So they tell her that and then leave. She's got 12 hours to decide. Nick, meanwhile, goes to the club while it's not open. Raphael is there, who tries to stop him. Nick just cold cocks him, just decks him, walks right past him like he's not even there. Goes to Andre and puts him in cuffs and is taking him out to the car when Amanda arrives. And she tries to stop him. Like, what are you going to do? Prison's no place for him. And Nick's plan was he knows where there's a building about to have the foundation poured. And he's going to basically trap Andre in the foundation of the building. And as he says, yeah, he can be someone else's problem in 100 years, which is really dark. Like, like Nick went from zero to whoa in no time.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, whoa. Like, I don't think Nick understands what he's doing at all.
Probably.
Other than just getting him out of the picture.
So Amanda is like, well, you know, she goes to stand in front of the car to stop him from driving off with Korda. And Nick can't start the car. It won't start. Krista shows up. So now we've got Amanda and Krista. Korda's in the car. Nick's blaming Amanda for disabling the vehicle when it wasn't her. It was Dawson.
Nope. He's
got the distributor cap.
Yeah.
So he wrecked the car so it couldn't drive away. So we get a standoff.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a weird little standoff moment. Joe's got a gun on everybody. Krista's got a gun pointed at Nick. Andre is in the back of the car handcuffed. Amanda's got her sword drawn. There's a pack of three.
Nick's got his gun out too.
Like, yeah, then Nick pulls his gun out. And while this is all going on, which is clearly just like happening on the street, three seemingly random women are just crossing the street.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody puts their guns away. Nobody kind of stops what they're doing. The women don't react at all to anything that's going on. But they also don't really go in. They just sort of stand there. And then Corda threatens to have Krista shoot them. So Nick is like, fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. Uncuffs him and they leave.
No, he takes the cuffs off like they weren't a thing at all. That was funny.
But it's just such a weird scene with all of that going on.
It's very
weird.
And
these three women just like walking up on it and just kind of like, okay, cool. And then they leave. Like, I don't know what was happening there. That felt like somebody wasn't sure. Like, they just needed an innocent bystander in the scene, but didn't think it through. It was very strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now Nick is... Amanda's upset with Nick because he's getting involved, and he won't stop getting involved.
Right.
And Nick is like, what do you want me to do? So she gets flustered, leaves, tells Joe, just to talk to him. I can't talk to you right now.
Mm-hmm.
She leaves. So we get Nick and Joe talking again. And Nick wants to help. He wants to get Corda because the guy killed someone. He puts it, because Amanda's like, why do you keep wanting to get involved in my world? And he's like, once he murders somebody, he stepped into my world.
Right.
Joe is...
That was a good line, by the way.
That was a good one. I also like Joe, as soon as Amanda leaves, being like, I think she likes you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Captain Obvious.
Right. And Nick can't figure out why Joe won't interfere. Joe's just like, I can't do anything. Can't do anything about it. He's like, and so Joe explains to him that part of the Watchers is to record all of this, but they can't interfere because as Dawson says, if I expose this, I'm probably going to get sent to the nut house. They're going to think I'm crazy.
Right.
Or worse, they're going to believe me. And if they believe me, they're, you know, people are going to react. And Nick's like, whatever, that wouldn't happen. He goes, come on. How long were you a cop? You were a cop for 12 years. You've seen what people do and how they react. They used to burn witches at the stake. Like, and so Nick is so focused on Andre Korda and letting him get away.
Yeah.
And Joe tries to tell him, like, okay, so maybe Korda gets away, maybe not. But what happens if he gets grabbed? What happens when people start going after Amanda? And Nick sort of doesn't want to agree with him, but kind of begrudgingly does.
Right.
So then we get Amanda and Joe talking, and we intercut this with Nick working out, right? Getting out his aggression.
Right.
He's beating on the heavy bag. Amanda is just flustered with Nick. She can't seem to get through to him. She can't understand why he won't leave her alone. Joe's like, come on, the guy cares about you. He has feelings for you. Any idiot could tell. So Amanda goes to Nick while he's working out, shows up in full on head to toe leather, by the way, which I hope it wasn't middle of summer, cause that would be really uncomfortable. Very sweaty.
Yeah.
But she shows up, walks up to him and just basically plants a big old kiss on him, which just makes him more confused at that point. He has even less idea of what's going on. And then she feels the presence of an immortal. She leaves, telling him, I'm sorry.
And he knows that look, so he understands what's going on. It's just like, great.
Yeah. So she leaves. She finds Krista walking down the alley. So she pulls her sword and says, hey, let's do this. And she's like, I'm not here for you. And she goes, well, Amanda says, you want him, you got to go through me. So they're about to fight when somebody rides up on a bike in the alley. So Amanda's like, all right, not here.
Yeah.
So they go seemingly a few blocks away and have their fight. And we see Amanda bust out the fan for a technique she apparently learned 100 years ago that we've never seen. But
right.
It's fine.
Yeah. Whatever. Now, I mean, we've seen her do a little Tai Chi, kata kind of stuff. So it's not like completely out of the realm. But it's weird to all of a sudden see the knife fan thing. Going katana.
Yep.
All of a sudden.
So they're having their fight, and then we cut away, and Nick is leaving. I don't know if it was in his apartment or just a gym. I'm not entirely sure. but he's walking out to his truck when he sees the lightning of a quickening.
Yeah.
Worries that it's Amanda and heads for her apartment instead of going towards the lightning.
Right.
But okay. He gets there. There's no Amanda. There's just Dawson.
Mm-hmm. He's like he's packing stuff away.
Yep, he's putting stuff away. Nick's is all upset. He's looking around. Dawson's like, she's not here, man. But she wanted you to have this. And gives Nick Amanda's sword.
Mm-hmm.
Nick, noticeably and understandably upset, wants to know where Andre Korda is. Now, we saw before Korda talking to Krista and saying he was heading for Paris for something.
Mm-hmm.
So Nick takes off, goes to Paris. Amanda goes to talk to Joe, thanking him for, you know, lying to Nick because Amanda's not actually dead, which was pretty obvious because we didn't see anyone actually get killed. But Joe feels bad because he lied to Nick. And Amanda's like, it's the best thing to do, right? He feels bad because he could tell Nick has feelings for Amanda. He knows that Amanda has some feelings for Nick. He doesn't like lying to people like that, I don't think. Just kind of feels like Joe isn't the type to be like, to do that when the two of them could have worked it out. But he's upset. Amanda's like, no, this is the best thing. I'd be too worried about him. I might end up losing my head from it. Joe's like, yeah, okay, who are you actually worried about? You know, that kind of thing. And while that's going on, we see a plane land in Paris and Nick go to Korda, wherever Korda was, because apparently he knew, I guess. I guess Joe gave him enough info. And Korda's not there, so he just wanders around. And now he's drinking and he's walking through Paris and he's reminiscing and missing Amanda. Well, I gotta say,
I just love that he tells Korda's dude, he can find me here, and then is walking all over Paris, not staying there, waiting for Korda to come to him. You know, walks past a place where a barge used to be parked.
Walks in a tunnel that we've seen a few times before, a bridge. But I did, you're right, that is pretty funny. I'll be at the Hotel du Monde. Meanwhile, just wandering around Paris, half drunk. And while that all is happening, Korda hiding like around a corner, Nick comes around the corner and gets shot.
Bam.
So Andre Korda shoots him a couple times and then tells his lackey, you finish him off, and leaves. And before the guy can finish him off, he's shot. Nick is lying there. A figure of someone walks up, kneels down by Nick, and then we see Nick pass out or something. We're not sure. Back at the apartment, Amanda is upset because Nick is in Paris. So I guess word got to him. So we have to assume that was probably a watcher.
Yeah, because they know Nick was shot. Like, they mentioned that. So,
yeah.
Which is why Amanda's all upset and bothered.
Yep. So Amanda's all upset. So she's packing up. Joe's like, what are you going to do? And she says, I'm going to Paris. And to be continued.
Yep.
Joe, talk to him. I cannot talk to you.
You know, I think she likes you.
You shut up.
Tell me, were you really going to bury Korda in cement?
So, yeah. It's actually like a very Highlander episode, it felt like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of the things I kept thinking at, when I was about, because I wasn't really watching the time, I was just kind of letting the episode absorb, and I kept thinking, man, this would be a lot better if they stretched this out a little bit, if they let it breathe a little bit, give us a second part, kind of see what's going on. Not even really thinking. And then when Nick ends up in Paris, and I realize we're at episode 12 of whatever it is, 22, I'm thinking, are they doing it again? Is this one also going to have half its episodes in France? And I kind of
like it might.
Yeah, and I do kind of like that they did a to be continued on it, because it felt like they were setting up a bigger story. And
sure.
I will say this. I would have been upset more and disliked the episode a little bit more had it wrapped itself up in one episode. because I feel like
sure.
it would have been too quick of a resolution.
Mm-hmm.
There
were times throughout this episode where it felt like they were stretching it out for reasons, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot more kind of immortal and then Watcher philosophy talk, which was cool.
Yeah.
But then it was like, oh, and then Amanda's going to go kiss Nick and, you know, oh, we've got feelings. Okay, but we're not going to really talk about it because Tingle, we got to go do something else. Like, but yeah, what?
Yeah. Oh, I will say, though, in a way, that's actually kind of a good way to do it, right? Because they're teasing us with more. There's going to be a second half resolution to this particular story, and that's a good way to set that up. So, but that's, again, where I'm kind of like, this felt like Highlander to me, right? We sort mm-hmm. of talked about how last week felt more Highlander-ish than a lot of episodes we've seen so far. And this one, I feel like, goes more, even more in that direction because we get that immortal and Watcher philosophical talk, and we get some of that like immortality and the idea that, you know, Nick doesn't fully understand the world, but he can't let go of who he is either. And he cares, and he obviously has feelings for Amanda, and they've hinted at that. They've done the whole will they, won't they thing for 10 episodes or whatever. But he's not going to let that go. And Amanda, realizing this finally, understands that he's not going to let that go. And she is not only worried about him, but herself as well. And that idea that she couldn't, she doesn't think she could do a relationship with him or have anything like that because she would be too worried about him all the time.
Right.
And thinking about it, have we seen Amanda in much of a relationship with a mortal? I mean, outside of Joe, like all of her relationships have been with
not mortals. A sustained relationship. No. Yeah.
So I feel like that kind of makes sense. And it sort of fits her character too, because she is a little bit more self-serving. She's a little bit of that. So like,
which
I get
Joe
it.
Rightly points out, like, are you actually worried about him or just worried about you? And it's like, it's a good question.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, go ahead.
I think my biggest problem with this episode is I feel like they wrote Joe based off somebody telling them about Joe in the original series and not people who know Joe. Because I felt like they made him just a little too gruff and a little too, like, when he's so upset about lying to Nick, I think that was not the way he should have been written. I think he should have been written a little less gruff with that one, because Joe's a Watcher. He has to lie to people all the time to keep these secrets. I don't think lying to him would have made him so mad. It's just, I think they could have softened that a little bit. It just made him a little less grumpy overall. I feel like the whole episode, it was like somebody pissed in his coffee every time just before the scene starts.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously some of that is it's not the same series, but it still should have been the same Joe. I agree with you there. Mm-hmm. That is, if I have a gripe about the episode, it's that Joe is a little too rough. But we're also looking at the Joe Dawson who doesn't have, he's not around McLeod.
Right.
And you know, we don't know what's transpired from the last season of Highlander to now.
Right.
So there is that factor in there. I liked having him here and bringing Joe in as the way to introduce the Watchers to this series.
Sure.
And I'm with you. And like, he seemed a little too upset about lying to Nick, which you know he lies to people all the time. And you know that he understands mortals and immortals. But there wasn't enough of a like background reason as to why he would really pick at this particular relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I feel like there would have been some mention of McLeod, and not mentioning him is weird as well. But you know, it was great to see Joe, and Jim Burns is always good.
Even if I think, this wasn't exactly Joe as I think he should have been, it was still great to see Jim Burns as Joe. I mean, bring it on. The only thing missing was him playing a guitar. Like,
yeah,
that would have been great.
I think, too, part of the reason they make him a little more gruff is there's got to be pushback with Nick.
Mm-hmm.
If he's too friendly and too helpful, then it makes Nick look bad being so, like, against that, if that makes any sense. And you need to make...
Yeah.
You need to give, like, a strong antagonist to Nick because we know what Nick is going to do and we know how hard he's going to go. So there's kind of that in play as well, which could be part of it.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, it is what it is there. But again, it was good to see him there. We didn't even mention, but Andre Korda is played by Valentin Pelka.
Yes.
If you know that,
he is.
If you're not sure Valentin Pelka, we talk about him a lot because it was Kronos.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked him in this because he's not playing Kronos.
Yes. This is one of those cases where you know this actor is a damn good actor because he was definitely a totally different character, even though it was the same actor. And we're sitting here like, I'm waiting for Kronos to shine through, and he doesn't at all. Like, he figured out the line for Andre and just stuck with it, and it was great. It was really good to see him do that and hold that and make it believable that he is a different person for those of us who know him as the actor.
Absolutely. And I liked... I mean, he's over the top. He's a bit of a caricature, but it's a fun character. He's playing that soft-spoken, tyrannical, immortal that doesn't value mortals. He sees them as chattel, and which makes perfect sense. And he's very good at it. He's also very charismatic, which I liked. But yeah, I liked that it wasn't just a variation on Kronos. He was a very different kind of character. And we don't know much about his backstory or how he came to be wherever he was. We just learn little snippets of, like, I trained for, you know, however many years with certain masters and blah, blah, blah. And that's it. So it was like, it was kind of cool. But it was neat to see him. You mentioned Peter Mensa. Peter Mensa plays Raphael. He's barely in this episode. Mm-hmm. This is one of his early credits. He had done half dozen TV shows at this point and, like, one small role in a movie. So he wasn't Peter Mensa yet. I think this was pre Jason X, because that was a fairly early and pretty big role for him. I think it was like the next year or so. But it was cool to see him. I mean, he's got a great look. He would have made a great villain in an episode of either Highlander or this show, like full on main villain.
Because
he's just got such a cool look to him. And he can give you that physical intimidation too that we talk about a lot. So that was kind of neat. What was the other? Ellen Dubin played Krista. She looked familiar to me. I'm sure I've seen her in some stuff. Krista was an interesting character because she's very much kind of a not Amanda. The character itself is fairly flat and there's not a whole lot of development there. She's basically just his right-hand woman. She's sort of the replacement for Amanda, but has only been with him for like 8 years.
And it's really funny. Like, I feel like this episode can't decide whether she's mortal or immortal. Because Amanda makes a comment about when she's been with him for 8 years and makes a comment to her about, like, just being a dog for him. And I was like, is Amanda insinuating that she's just mortal, so she means nothing to him?
I didn't get that so much as, like, it felt like Amanda didn't... Part of the reason she left was she realized that she wasn't viewed as an equal. She was viewed as property. And just assumes that that is how Korda is treating everybody. And that Krista is just kind of his lapdog and sort of does his bidding.
But then later on, she fights Amanda as an immortal. I'm like, oh, I guess she's immortal.
Yeah. And okay. I have to assume Raphael is, if he, or at least knows about immortals, but he showed up with a sword.
Yeah.
At Amanda's apartment.
I assumed he was too, so,
But I don't know if we'll get any more of him or not.
I
guess we'll find out in part two.
Yeah.
If he makes the trip over to France. I am curious, because I have no idea if it does continue or not, how long we're going to stay in Paris.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Because this is the midway point. So if it was like the Highlander series and a joint production, we may be in Paris for the rest of the series. I'm also very curious where they're going with Nick.
Yeah.
Are they going to make him an immortal? And maybe he was in pre-immortal stage, and that's kind of why Amanda hasn't completely given up on him, because maybe she knows. I don't know. But they do end it with him getting shot, but not dead. Because they do allude to him being in a hospital. So, I mean, for me, this is probably, so far, the best episode this series has put out.
Yeah. I'd say, for me, it was equal to last week. Just the stuff with Joe was just enough of it to throw me off just a little bit and not make me think it's the best, but
I mean,
yeah, definitely tops.
It's not a high bar, right? Like,
true.
It's not a great episode by any stretch, but of this series, this one has felt the most like they had an idea, at least, of where they were going with the show.
Right.
For the first time in how long, right? Because that's been the big thing, is we keep saying they don't know what they want this show to be. And
yeah.
We're 12 episodes in, and it's finally feeling like maybe they know now. And
Maybe they remembered it's a Highlander type show.
Yeah. Like, this should have been an episode. Within the first three episodes, this should have been what was going on. Whether you're making Nick into an immortal and going to explore that or not, I don't know. But this is the type of stories that should have been starting off the series and branching off from there. Because then you can play around with the idea of, let's say they go with Nick being an immortal. Now you've got Nick as an immortal, but he's also struggling because he was a cop and dealing with all that kind of stuff. You know, who knows about it, all that. Like, there's a lot of avenues you could go with in that.
Yeah.
And learning about that kind of stuff. Or if he's not and he just gets shot and injured, well, now, you know, Amanda can talk to him a lot more about immortals and like why it's dangerous for him to get involved and for him to be like, look, I don't care. You know, I'm going to do it anyway. And if I, you know, if I die, I die. Like, I can't control that. That kind of stuff. Like, there's all that you could explore as well.
Yeah.
So. But they just dragged their feet and did all sorts of weird side stories. And, which, if this was a brand new series made out of whole cloth or like the first adaptation of something like Highlander, I could maybe understand it taking a while to get your feet under you.
Yeah.
This ain't their first rodeo. This is essentially Highlander season seven. Because it's the same production crews. I mean, Dennis Barry directed this. He directed how many episodes of the original series? So it's not like we're whole new crew of people making this. These are people that have already done this kind of stuff and they couldn't figure that out. So
Well, it was more of like, can we make it different? It's like, you're not doing anything different enough to really make it worthwhile. Why don't we try like an old Highlander episode? Oh, hey, this works. Who knew?
Yeah,
weird. Doing immortal stuff like we used to do.
Yeah. So that's episode 12, A Matter of Time. Next episode is episode 13, The French Connection. So we'll find out what's going on with that. Also directed by Dennis Beery. Do we want the synopsis, or do we want to wait and find out?
I want to wait.
Okay.
I kind of just want to go into it blind.
Sounds good to me. So that's episode 13, The French Connection, which will be the next episode of this show. Now, if you like this show and you want to watch us record it live, you can come hang out, twitch.tv/TVsTravis, Thursday nights, 9 p.m. We hang out, we record, chat a little bit before, chat a little bit after. It's a good time. Show comes out as a podcast anywhere you get your podcasts, or anchor.fm/Let's Watch Highlander, and you can look for Audie's great artwork anywhere you find your podcast, searching for Let's Watch Highlander. I am all over the social medias, TV's Travis, all of them, basically. So you can find me there. I'll talk immortals. We got more little nuggets and little tidbits here and there keep coming out about the Highlander reboot. Henry Cavill talking about getting excited for it and all sorts of stuff. I also did watch him just last weekend in Argyle. And
Did you watch it?
Yeah, he was fun. His hair was ridiculous, though.
Yeah.
The hair was like a foot tall. But I'm excited for him to be a part of it. I hope that it is continuing to move forward. And but if you want to talk about that, if you want to talk about this show, if you want to talk about the original Highlander series or movies, or you know anything pop culture related, the new Ghostbusters movie comes out soon. I'm excited for that. So I'm all over as TV Stravis, and Audie, you're on all the socials as.
You can find me at the Audie Norman.
Excellent. The best one to follow for him, by the way, people, is his Instagram. The artwork. It's the art, man. Love it. Yeah, we'll be back next week for episode 13, The French Connection. Until then, remember, this show's got to do half its episodes in France, right?
Yeah, it's a necessary evil, like mosquitoes.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.